Joining us now is Mrs. Penina Pflug. Mrs. Pflug has been a psychotherapist for 2 decades. She has advanced training in emotionally focused couples therapy. Her practice focuses on both individual and family therapy, but her real passion is promoting the importance of premarital counseling. Mrs. Pflug, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mrs. Pflug, dealing with issues, constantly dealing with issues between spouses. So is it best shalom bias? Does shalom bias means that spouses should just avoid conflict? And as a spouse, should you just give in? I want to just give in. I'm not going to say anything. And that's my shalom bias.
Okay, so one of the slides that I have in my premarital course for the couples that I teach, I have a quote that says, avoidance is the best short-term strategy to escape conflict and the best long-term strategy to ensure suffering, right? So I think that says a lot, that avoidance, it's not good to avoid. Now, let's back up a little bit. Like, we all come into a marriage with different skills, different backgrounds, different relationship role models. So it is easier for some people to talk about their feelings, right? Some homes, they talk about feelings, they will argue in a respectful way. And in some homes, people don't talk about feelings. It's not emotionally safe to talk about feelings. So this definitely impacts how two people come into a marriage, you know, as well as their personality and their life experience, right? So one of the things that, I wouldn't say it's good to avoid conflict. Now, I always tell people, you know, in a marriage, you need to have a voice and you also need to protect your partner's feelings, right? So you need to share your feelings, but you don't want to draw blood. You don't need to say it in a mean way. It's not like everything's fair game to say. Like, some people will come into my office and say, okay, we're in therapy, let's just say everything, put it all out there. And I say, well, wait a minute, that's not necessarily the right approach. Like, we have to. So I say, one of my mentors once told me this many years ago, you protect your own heart, meaning you have a voice, and you protect your partner's heart. You don't draw blood. You say things in a way that's not going to be harmful or mean, right? So avoiding conflict. Now, sometimes you do avoid conflicts. It's very important to stop and say, wait, is this worth it? Like, am I going to complain that, you know, my wife didn't do the dishes? You know, am I going to complain that my husband didn't get me flowers? Right. So certain things you say, you know what, this is a one-off, or it's not important, the person's, I'm going to give him a pass, I'm going to give her a pass. However, if something is weighing on you, this is one of the ways that we try to build a healthy relationship, is that you need to have emotional safety, right? So I need to be able to say to my spouse, you know, my feelings were hurt when you didn't get me flowers before Pesach, without being afraid that he's going to be upset at me, that he's going to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. You know, and that he can say to me, you know what, like, I was traveling all day and I came home and there was no dinner and it just made me feel bad because I worked so hard. There has to be emotional safety, a climate in a relationship where you can talk about feelings and know that the other person is not going to get angry at you for having feelings, right? And not going to get defensive. So it's not good to avoid conflict. It's good to share feelings and work through feelings. And often what all couples tell me, and I know to be true, is that when they start to talk about their feelings more, like, let's say when we're in therapy and we're working on developing those skills, they do feel closer, right? Because when you say to someone, something's bothering you, you say to your spouse, something's bothering you, and your spouse validates your feelings and your spouse understands and cares, you feel closer, right? Let's say, yeah.
I have 3 points so far. Yeah. Be open, but don't draw blood. I love that quote. Don't draw blood. So try to deal with conflicts, but don't draw blood. Number two is be selective in the issues that you want to deal with. You don't want to deal with every single issue, because that's not going to be good either. And also be receptive of feedback. Don't be defensive and be open to hearing from your spouse. And that is the method or 3 principles of conflict resolution in marriage. So what would you say are the skills necessary to be effective at conflict resolution in marriage? And would you say those are the same dealing with conflicts with friends or business partners or others that you interact with on a regular basis? Is it a different set of skills? Because maybe you're going to be less worried about drawing blood when dealing with others than dealing with a spouse. So how would you, 2 questions. What are the skills necessary? And is it the same as general conflict resolution?
Okay, sure. So I'm going to tell you the skills that I try to help my couples in therapy, and then also my engaged and newlyweds when I'm trying to help them learn how to have a healthy relationship. So we teach how to be vulnerable, right? So what that means is how to talk about your feelings, right? Like, let's say when a couple's in a fight. So if I walk into the house and I say, hello, does anybody care about me? Is anybody listening? Anyone care that I worked all day? Hello, you guys are so selfish. You don't care about me. So my family is going to think that I am acting hateful, nasty, angry. They don't seem here that I am feeling hurt and I'm feeling ignored and I'm not feeling prioritized, right? So helping couples learn vulnerability is helping them share the deeper feelings, right? The sadness, the fear, not like the anger and the frustration and resentment that comes out in the heat of an argument. So vulnerability, empathy, that's really important. We teach how to have empathy, which kind of means how do you try to walk in your spouse's shoes, try to understand their feelings, really understand. Empathy means showing someone that you get it, that you can like sit in the mud with them and try to feel their pain. So that vulnerability, empathy, validation. Validation is very important, right? So what that validation means is if your spouse shares their feelings, you don't say, I hear you, but I just bought you flowers last week, right? Right. So that's going to end the conversation. That's going to make the person not want to share their feelings next time, right? So that vulnerability, empathy, validation, listening. Listening does not come naturally to many people, right? Sometimes you have to learn how to be a good listener. So we practice that a lot in therapy and premarital education, how to really listen to a person, not thinking about how you're going to respond, not just thinking about your part, just listening when they're sharing their feelings. Something that's extremely important is not being right, right? So usually I always say this many times in therapy, it's not about who's right. It's about the space between the two of you, right? Like if you're going to worry about being right, you're not going to repair, you're not going to validate, and you're not going to acknowledge when you hurt another person. So being right is not important at all. It's about, listen, my spouse is feeling disconnected. My spouse is feeling hurt. How do I make them feel better? How do I, create connection? And then repairing, how to repair conflict. Right. So, in the type of my approach is we actually practice the repairing, the communication in the therapy room or in the premarital workshop. We don't say, go home and try this. We do it. We practice to help people learn how to communicate in an effective way. Okay, so your next question, is this the same thing that works in other relationships? What works in a marital relationship? So I always tell couples, and I think it's true, like I feel like the skills I'm teaching couples are very helpful. Most of those skills for parent-child relationship or any relationship with an adult, between an adult child and a parent, between siblings. So in terms of close relationships, it's the same. It's many of the same skills. However, I often will say this to a husband in therapy, what works at work doesn't work at home, right? So a lot of times at work, someone has to be more of a problem solver. Someone has to be more, analytical or in their head, intellectual, less emotional. So what works in the workplace doesn't work in relationships usually. There are some of the same skills. You want to validate someone. You don't want to be defensive. So some of it is the same, but some of it is different.
Right. It depends what you work in. So you just listed six very important skills in conflict resolution and marriages in closer relationships, as Carl is it, as opposed to business relationships. It sounds to me that these may be more endemic and natural for women than men, I would think, empathy and the like. So, but regardless of the gender, when should these skills be learned? Some people may have these skills, many people won't. Some people may have some and not others. Is this something that should be learned, obviously, ideally through life? But if you don't have it, you're getting close to marriage. Should this be part of marriage preparation? Should it be once you get married and you see what you need to deal with and you say, oops, I got to deal with this. I got to develop skills. When's the ideal time to develop these?
Okay, so ideally, it's a parent's job to teach these skills, right? But not all parents can teach these skills, right? So ideally, these skills begin with our relationships with our children. However, this is why it's so important for daters to kind of, speak to a therapist or speak to a mentor, a relationship mentor, and understand their own patterns with other people, so that they can know, what do I need to learn? Like, what did I not get from my parents? Or what do I struggle with in terms of relationships? So I think that ideally, children should be learning these skills. Like, I think schools, a lot of the high schools now are starting to try to teach, healthy relationship skills. However, I think that daters really have to look at themselves and say, what do I need to do to prepare for a healthy marriage? Now, I know that on a lot of yeshivas now, they'll have, I hear from my boys, like that the rabbanim and the yeshivas will do these vads on dating and teach some skills. And I think dating coaching has become extremely popular. And it's interesting. There's less of a stigma to go to a dating coach than to go to premarital education. I don't know why, but everyone's talking about their dating coaches. And I think it's great. I really do. You have to know who you're going to. You have to, you know, you have to go to a dating coach that is trained, right? Because a lot of times a shadchan will say they're a dating coach, but they're not really a dating coach, right? So dating coaches can help with this. And parents, educators, and then again, hopefully a couple, you know, will go for a premarital education and learn these, some of these skills. That's what I'm, you know, that's my hope, is that one day that will be mainstream, to go for premarital education and learn these skills. Like, if you think about it, this is the most important, this is the foundation for future generations, your marriage. You're building a home, and it's going to impact future generations. So why would we not set our children up for success? Why would we not want to do the most preparation? I mean, I think it's there's too much focus on the preparing for the wedding and not enough focus on preparing for the marriage.
What's after the wedding? What the wedding is all about. Yeah. So, I mean, you touched on this, that it's people are more prone, inclined, amenable to going to a dating coach rather than going to, we could call it therapy. And it's probably because therapy has a negative connotation of something's wrong with me, as opposed to a dating coach. I just need a little bit of assistance because I don't date. I'm not a professional dater. So they're going to get me through that dating process. So how do we go about mainstreaming this? How do you convince people that this is positive, that you should go proactively to quote unquote therapy? Could be we have to change it from calling it therapy to relationship coaching. And maybe that's the fix that we need. We need a little bit cosmetics on this. So how do you go about mainstreaming this when it's about having successful marriage and convincing people that really don't have a problem, but it's simply a positive thing to go to? How do we get them to come?
Okay, so first of all, I actually do really try to call it premarital education. And I say it's not therapy, it's education, right? It's education to learn the skills to have a healthy relationship. I also think you're right, though, that when someone's dating and if they have any doubts, they should talk to a therapist before they make this most important decision, you know, of their life, who to share their life with. So I think it should come from the Rabbanim. The Masadri Kiddushin should say, you know what, like, do some, learn a little bit, go to, just like you go to a Kala teacher or a Chassan teacher, go talk to a premarital educator and learn the skills. That's been trying to convince a lot of people to make this happen. What I notice is that I've spoken to many Rabbanim and they're all on board and they're like, this is great. This is great. However, who do they send me? They send me the couples that they're worried about. They don't just send me every couple. So that's what I'm saying, that we're really behind, because in the secular world, it is more in style to do premarital education. I don't think there's a stigma really in the secular world. So I think we have to find a way, because here, like, everybody is crying about all these divorces. Everyone is lamenting and saying there's so many divorces of 20-year-olds, right? However, nobody is saying, what do we do about this? What are we doing wrong? What do we have to rethink the dating process? We have to rethink the engagement process.
Mrs. Flug, thank you so much for all your insights. You should have tremendous hatzlach in getting this mainstreamed. Hopefully people will become aware of the necessity for the pre-marriage workshops and coaching and training, because this could be really critical in having a very successful marriage together.
Thank you for having me.